Have our associate pastor. I think this is the second to the last sermon. Got one more after this, right? Oh, this is it. Oh, yeah, because missions conference is next week. That's right. So the last of the series on victory.
Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. But if you would like me to preach next week, I would be happy to. Joshua chapter 23. We'll finish up tonight living in victory, living in victory, right where God wants you. And living right where God wants you is the place of rest. The promised land was a picture, if you read the book of Hebrews, it was a picture of God's rest, living in the will of God. It's also a picture of the Spirit-filled life. By the way, all of us are to desire to live a Spirit-filled life. And by the way, I think the Scripture says if we live in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We want to stay away from sin. We stay closer to the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that here in a little while. And I believe tonight as we look through these scriptures, we're going to look at the whole chapter tonight. There's only 16 verses. But I want to start off kind of just with, let's look at the first seven verses. The first seven verses, and then we'll get into what God has for us tonight. The Bible says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest..." Everybody see that? "And unto Israel, all their from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." And we believe at this time he was possibly at 90, around 90 years old. The Bible says in verse 2, "And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and their heads, and their judges, for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God had done unto all these nations before because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath brought fought for you." Verse 4 says, "Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance of for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward." Now verse 5 says, chapter 23, "And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left." And he says, verse 7, "That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of their name of their God, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself unto them." Tonight we'll talk about passing on victory. You know, one of the greatest things I believe we can pass on to our kids is not our money. My kids waiting on that. They're going to be a shock. All right? You know, it jingles what I'm going to give them, right? And but I can pass on. I can pass on a lot of things. I pass my name on to my son. I can pass on an inheritance to my son. But the greatest thing is how to live the Christian life is the greatest thing we could ever pass on to our kids. And how do we want them to live a life? I don't want my kids to live a defeated life because they don't have to. I want them to live a life that is victorious in Jesus Christ. I want them to see even when they're facing the storms of life, their life can be a victorious life. Even when they're facing the strongholds of the devil in this world, that they still can live a victorious life. And there's a pattern that we've seen through the book of Joshua. And Joshua was a great example of a man who started well and who ended well. And if God would grant me any wish tonight, if tonight was my last night, I hope that he would say, "Michael, you've been faithful." I hope that he would say, "You finished your course." Because really and truly, what we pass on to our kids spiritually is way more important than we can pass anything physically to them. Because I'll tell you, they'll be just like the prodigal son if we pass on just wealth and they don't have the wisdom of God in their life. But tonight I want us to look at this thought of passing on victory. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this blessing that you've given me to preach in this church. I thank you for a pastor that God would give up his pulpit for me to stand behind. And I thank you for that. I ask you to bless him. But God, tonight I know that nothing can be accomplished through me or through any other person. But God, anything that will be accomplished will be through you and through your Son, through your Holy Spirit, and through your Word. And so, God, I yield myself tonight to everyone, the Holy Spirit, to your word, to you. And God, I just ask that you would do something tonight that people would say that you were in our presence. And so, Father, I give you all glory, all honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Billy Sunday said this, stopping at third adds no more to the score than striking out. It doesn't matter how well you start if you fail to finish. That is so true. Tom Landry said this, most of y'all know who that is if you're in Texas. Leadership is a matter of having people look at you and gain confidence, seeing how you react. If you're in control, they're in control. And that's really the mentality of Joshua. Joshua had everything in control because he was following the Lord. Because he was living off of the promises that God had placed there. And I believe as children of God tonight, we need to be as Joshua, and we need not only to live in victory, but we need to pass on that legacy of living in victory. I want to look at three things tonight. Number one, what advice did Joshua give? Well, verses 1-7, we see he talks about abiding. To abide. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, he goes on down, he talks about there's a bunch of verses here we want to look at tonight, but I just want you to kind of look at the first, look at verse 6, if you will. He says in verse 6, he says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside." Notice what he said, "turn not aside from therefrom to the right nor to the left." And he said that that verse 5 also kind of gives us a lot, and I know I'm trying to, for the sake of time, to skip some of the verses, but I want you to go back and read all of it. But he talks about basically in verses 1 through verse 7 that we should abide in the Lord, that we should abide not only, and I'll show you some things here in a moment, but I believe we have to abide in God in order to produce anything. And the scripture for that is John chapter 15, verses 4 through 10. Let me read this. Here's what Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine." You can go back and read the whole verse, but Jesus said that unless you abide in me and I in you, you cannot produce fruit. See, I think there's too many people that are so-called saved are trying to produce something of fleshly value instead of something that God is trying to produce through their life. By the way, you realize fleshly we can produce converts? You can have a little group that follows you. You can have a group that worships you. And by the way, some people want that. But God says that true fruit, the fruit that will remain, or the fruit whenever the fire goes to it, that's going to be that precious stone, that gold and silver, is going to be the fruit that we produce through Jesus Christ. He's the real fruit producer. We see three things we need to abide in. Number one, we need to abide in His Word. He said in verse 6 that you do all, be very courageous and keep, and to do all that is written there in the book of law of Moses. Here it is. We don't pick and choose what we get to abide by. A lot of people do that. They're like, "Ooh, I don't like that one." Love your enemies. Never. God is love. I like that one. You know, we can't pick and choose what we like out of the Bible. We're to abide in His Word. We are to abide in the Word of the Lord. God gave us His Word so it would be our final authority and only authority for life. Not only do we abide in His Word, number two, we abide in His way. In other words, here's what God said to Joshua. "Joshua, go in and possess the land." And guess what Joshua did? He went in and he possessed the land. Why? Because he abided in the way that God provided. Hello? Now, you can take the express lane, but you're going to pay for it. Literally speaking. And spiritually speaking, right? You ever get that bill and go, "Good night, I only went a half a mile and they charged me $5 for it. And I only went that far." You know? And see, sometimes we think by taking maybe the express route or the self route that we're gonna be able to hurry up God's will, but you can't. You must abide in His way. Why? Because in God's way, He teaches us things. He teaches us how to live in victory in His way. You know, sometimes as parents, we try to protect our kids from every boo-boo that they're going to get. And you know, as a especially moms, they're quick with those hands to try to, but you know what? They're going to get boo-boos. That's why they made Band-Aids. That's why they made Mama's Kisses. Right? That's why they made Methylate, Curacron. Right? Set my leg on fire, Lord. Set my leg on fire. Right? And the orange was left there to remind you of the burn. Right? I hated seeing that little thing come out with that dropper thing in it. It was like, Lord, if the rapture's going to happen right now, even so come, Lord Jesus. Nope, Mama's going to burn that thing to death. Now not only do I have a cut, now I have a burn, right? And then, you know, that's the way life was. We abide in His Word, we abide in His way, and the last thing, we abide in His wisdom. Joshua abode in the wisdom of God. You realize throughout the whole book of Joshua, you find Joshua talking to the Lord and the Lord talking to Joshua and Joshua doing exactly what God said. He was using God's wisdom. You see, man's wisdom is, the Bible tells us in the book of James, is sensual. In other words, it's fleshly. But the wisdom that comes from God is that we can produce fruit with. That is what we can live our life, a victorious life. We make wise choices, not because we're so wise, but because we rely on His wisdom. You say, how do we get that wisdom? Well, James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And basically, here's what James said. God's going to pour it out on you. I believe we must abide. Joshua shows us that we must abide. Look at verses 8 through 11. I want to show you a second thing. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done until this day. Joshua's giving them a pat on the back here. He said, hey, cleave unto the Lord as you've done up to this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you until this day. Verse 10 says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, it is He that fighteth for you, as He hath promised you. In other words, rest in this promise. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Now, notice what he just said. We see not only are we to abide in Him, but we are to adhere to Him. Yeah, you know what the word adhere means? That means when you get something that you want to stick to something else. Right? By the way, why don't we just stick with God? Why don't we just stick with the Word of God? It works. We don't need to change the program. We need to change this. We don't need to change the Bible. We don't need to change the music. We don't have to change what has worked for centuries. We just need to change this. And adhere to Him, and not just abide in Him, but adhere to the things that He's given us. Here's what He told us, and I love these verses, but He said, adhere, how do you adhere to the Lord? Well, you adhere to Him by love. Notice what He said in verse 11. He said, that you love the Lord your God. Let me ask you tonight, do you love Him? You see, it's kind of like James said. James said, you can say all day long you got faith, but if you're not doing anything for the Lord, you ain't got nothing. That was a big paraphrasing of what James said. You see, I can say, Donya, I sure do love you. Now I'm going to be gone for a month. I'll be staying with some other people. But I'll be back in a month. And when I get back, you know, don't give her any attention. Don't show her any affection. That's not going to work out too long. You know, I can say I love you, and you can say you love me, but if that's all we ever do, that's not true love. We must examine ourselves. Do we truly love the Lord? We must adhere to Him by love. Love, not only is our love for Him helps us to adhere to Him, but the Bible says that the love of Christ constraineth me. In other words, because He loved me. Because of His love for me means I want to hold on to Him because He loves me. We love Him because what? He first loved us. Then the second thing, we're to adhere by learning. The more you learn about the Lord, and Joshua spent those 40 years beside Moses learning about the Lord God. We know Moses spent 40 years before that learning in the backside of the desert. He took those 40 years with Joshua and he taught him the things of God, the law of God, and Joshua began to adhere himself to the Lord God by the learning. And then we see the third thing. We adhere to Him by leaning. The way you lean is the way you fall. You ever rubbed up against paint? Paint on the walls wet? And we all do this, don't we? There's not a table or a wall I can't lean against. Right? I'm an expert at that. I have a bad posture issue. You know? But I don't know about you, but there's every day of my life I need to lean on the Lord. I need to lean on Him and adhere to Him. Leaning shows trust, someone said. Leaning shows trust. Means you're trusting what you're leaning against. And by the way, Joshua told them, we can trust God because He hath promised that He would fight for us. We see the last thing tonight. Joshua gives us some things. He's passing on some things. He tells them to abide. He tells them to adhere. But also He tells them some things to avoid. Look at verses 12 through verse 16. He says, "Else if ye do any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for certainty." In other words, God's not going to flip a coin on this one. "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be a..." Here's about four things. Number one, be a snare. Number two, be a trap unto you. And number three, scourges in your side. And number four, and thorns in your eyes until ye perish from off the good land which the Lord your God... Now notice this. "...hath given you." Verse 14 says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." In other words, I'm about to die. "And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed." In other words, Joshua said, "One thing I told y'all, everything I told you God was going to do, God did." Because God's not a liar, right? Verse 15 says, "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God had promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until He had destroyed you off of this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you." Somebody say amen for the new covenant. I'm glad we live underneath grace. See, there was a blessing for obedience, and there was a cursing for disobedience. And verse 16 says, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded unto you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then the anger of the Lord is kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given unto you." By the way, there's a difference of tone here in verse 16 than there was when Moses was telling them the same thing. You want to know why? Because in the desert they didn't die quickly most of the time. It was a slow death that most of them. Most of them made it to almost the 39 year and three quarter before they died. But here Joshua said, God's given you mercy, but now God's saying, hey, you disobey my covenant, now you're going to die quickly. Why? Because they're in a different land now. That's a whole different sermon. I'm getting off track. But here's some things to avoid. Number one, avoid unions. He says here, and you can go back and read these, he talks about marriages in verse 2. He talks about going in and being, or not verse 2, verse 14 or somewhere in there, wherever I was earlier. Verse 12, he talks about don't go into the land and marry those who are in the land. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hebtites, the Jebusites, all the Ites. Don't join yourselves to them. Why is that? Why don't we join ourselves? Well, because 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion or what union hath light with darkness?" You see, God was trying to help them by saying, stay away from that wicked world out there. You stay inside of the confines of your tribes, and you marry between yourselves, and don't go out there, because what happens is that they begin to bring in their gods. Ask Solomon. Solomon began to marry, pretty soon Solomon was worshiping the gods of the world. Why? Because he married outside of where God told him to. Listen to me tonight. If you're not married tonight, you need to marry. If you're saved, you marry a saved person. If not, that marriage is going to have trouble from day one. You've got light fighting darkness. You've got the devil fighting Satan. Devil fighting the Lord. There we go. Right? You got the spirit fighting the flesh already. And what happens, it creates havoc in a marriage. And God said that we ought to avoid those unions. We ought to, as Christians, we ought to avoid the union that we make with the world. What fellowship hath you with the world? I am saying we ought to be friendly to them. But listen, I'm not going to hang out with ungodly people. I'm just not. If you are, guess what? Pretty soon it's like a vacuum. I've heard this 1,000 times in my life. I'm sure Pastor has too. Well, the only reason I hang around, I'm trying to win them to the Lord. I have never in my life seen that ever work. You know what I have seen? Well, where's so-and-so? Well, I've seen them on Facebook. They're now going to where those other people were going. Now they're out of church. Why? Because it's like a vacuum. My friends are not ungodly people. Now, do I be friendly to ungodly people? Yes. I want to give them a track. I know you have to work with those coworkers, but listen, I'm not going to go over to somebody's house and have a party with them. That's ungodly. I'm not going to do it. I will not put myself in that position. I want to separate myself from that. And God told the children of Israel, and Joshua's telling the children of Israel, listen, you got to separate yourself from this ungodly world. We're going to see here in just a minute what happens when you don't. Then, number two, underneath that, avoid unbelief. Verses 14 through verses 15, we see that. He was reminding them of the promises of God, that what God said is what God did. By the way, you want to know how they died in the wilderness? They died because of unbelief, the book of Hebrews tells us. If you want to live a life, a life of victory, you have to avoid unions that you make with the ungodly out there. You have to avoid unbelief. And then thirdly, you have to avoid ungodliness. In verses 16... In verse 16, all the way through the verse 16 mainly, he talks about don't join yourselves to them, but don't worship their idols. Can I say from chapter, we have one more chapter in the book of Joshua, then you get into the book of Judges, and we'll look at something here in a minute. But can I say from the book of Judges all the way through to the New Testament, you know what happens to God's people? They worshiped idols. Off and on. That was their life. We see that. Here's what's happening in America today. Matter of fact, turn over to Judges chapter 2, I believe it is. Judges chapter 2. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. You say, well, did they heed the warning of Joshua? Well, the book Joshua chapter 24 says that all the days of Joshua they followed the Lord. And also it says it here in verse 7. It says, Judges chapter 2 verse 7, it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders outlived Joshua, who had seen all of the great works of God. And then he says, Joshua dies at 110 years old, and then verse 10 says, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he hath done for Israel. And verse 11 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and Sir Balaam. We're just a few years beyond Joshua being passed off the scene, and all of a sudden here we are. We don't have any rule in the world. We have the very same children who said in chapter 24 when Joshua said, choose you this day who you serve. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they said, Joshua, we're with you. Kind of reminds you of Peter, right? Lord, I will never deny you. Jesus said, Peter, when that chicken begins to crow, when that rooster begins to crow, you're going to deny me. And guess what happened? He did. Tonight, I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that not only starts well, but ends well. And Joshua has given us some things here tonight that we can place in our lives. And go back and read Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1 is the saddest chapter, I believe, in the Old Testament. You know why it is? Is because here's what happened. so-and-so did not drive out the ites. So-and-so did not drive out the ites. So-and-so did not drive... Look at chapter 1. It's all in there. They did not drive... Did not utterly drive them out. Didn't drive them out. Didn't utterly drive them out. You know what they did? They got lazy. And as a Christian, when we get lazy, we lose the battle. When if you want to live a life that is victorious, you're going to have to live a life that is abiding in Him and adhering to Him. And there's some things you're going to have to avoid in your life. And as children of God, and I believe this with all my heart, that if we as children of God will stick ourselves to the Lord and abide in Him and avoid the ungodly things of this world, God will bless us because He's bound to His Word. Joshua chapter 24, you can go back and look at that. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, I just quoted it, but Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." If you have a different version of the Bible, especially NIV, NIV says, the translation is, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Something like that. Change the word house to family. You say, "Well, is that a big deal?" Yes, a big deal. Because here's what Joshua was saying. I don't care who's in my house. We're going to serve the Lord. That means if mama-in-law comes in on the weekend, she going to church. Amen. Now, he didn't say me and my family. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, I want those around me to be, I want to be a leader for them, and I want them to live a life that is victorious. And for me to do that, those who I have come into my house, they're going to serve the Lord. Folks, I don't know about you. I want my kids to serve the Lord. I want my wife to serve the Lord. But you know what? If I don't pass things on to my children, we're going to lose this right here, what we have. Heritage Baptist Church will cease to exist because you know what? Right now, I believe Heritage Baptist Church is living in the book of Joshua. But if we're not careful, the book of Judges, the page can turn to Judges chapter 1. And we can say, well, you know, it is the 21st century. You know what? We got to give a little bit. Yeah. So what happens? Yeah. You just give just a little bit. Next time you're driving down 35, just give a little bit. Just give a little bit more. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to wreck. In the Christian life, you give a little bit, you may get away with it. You give a little bit, you may get away with it. And before long, it gets easier to give. And like Brother Chappell was saying, we either listen to the people or we listen to God. Can't go wrong listening to God. Tonight, I don't know where you're at, but I want to live a victorious life. But also, I want to pass on this victorious life. I hate being discouraged. I hate being defeated. That is not a good feeling, is it? But I like when God fights the battle. I love that. I love living in victory when God's doing things in my life and through my life and with my life. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your love and Your grace and mercy to us. God, tonight I pray, Lord, that You would help us all to pass on a victorious life. Lord, not that every day we know is going to be great, and Lord, we may not have that smile on our face every day, but Lord, if we would just abide in You and adhere to You and Your Word, and God, avoid things in this life that would hinder us from our walk with You. God, I know You'd bless us. I know that You would, Lord, God, walk with us and fight for us. So, God, tonight I pray that You would help us all to leave a legacy, Lord, of victory. And so, God, I ask You to bless tonight's invitation. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen, Pastor.